From Cambridge 105, this is Election Studio.
Welcome to the Election Studio. I'm Julian Clover, and on today's programme we'll hear from the Conservatives' James Palmer, UKIP's Paul Bullen and Stephen Goldspink from the English Democrats. Also in Election Studio, we'll discuss the mayoral prospects and those of the county council elections with political analysts Chris Rand and Phil Rogers. But first, Conservative James Palmer is currently leader of East Cambridgeshire District Council and the bookies' favourite to be mayor of Cambridgeshire and Peterborough. He saw off competition from Councillor Steve Count, leader of Cambridgeshire County Council, and Councillor Roger Harrison, the executive member for growth at Huntingdonshire District Council. Mr Palmer has spent his life in Soham and has a background in farming and the dairy business. James, welcome to Cambridge 105 and the Election Studio. Tell me about your political journey. Where did it all start for you?
Good gosh. Well, my political journey really, I suppose, started at school. And I went to St. Moody's College, and it was the early 80s. And the teachers at the time went on a series of strikes, which I didn't agree with, and therefore I looked at the other options to the ones that they were backing as a political way to be, and I was very much a fan of course of the Thatcher government at the time, and therefore my political journey began then. But I was never involved in politics, and I wasn't a member of a party until I was asked to stand in the local elections in 2007, and I stood for the district council then, and that was the first time I'd ever taken part in anything political as much as sitting on a committee or anything else. So it's been 10 years that I've actually been involved in politics.
And you've been leader of East Cambridgeshire District Council for the past four, is that right?
I have, yes. Yeah.
What have you seen during that time, both in your years as a councillor and maybe more particularly over those past 4 years, which you're thinking to yourself now, well, if I make it to mayor, I think I might want to change this a bit. Probably
well,
plenty.
There is plenty. I mean, as I said, a district leader, what I've found actually is that the district council having less money from government has made the council more efficient. So I believe we're a far better run council now than we were 4 years ago. I probably would say that, but I think the figures back me up as well. We've frozen council tax, we've invested in services and infrastructure in East Cambridgeshire. So my excitement and my pleasure about helping provide the Ely Bypass, a new leisure centre and cinema in Ely, has led me to believe that I can do it on a wider basis. But also, I know that the way the current system works in Cambridgeshire is not as efficient as it could be, isn't serving the local people as well as it could be. So I know that we can improve the current structure. And the mayor won't be able to dictate to other councils how they operate, but the mayor, of course, will be able to influence on the way that the devolution document is interpreted.
It's quite an interesting one, because obviously at the same time as the mayoral elections, we've got county council elections, but generally speaking, not ones for the district council or the city council. And I can imagine prospective councillors knocking on somebody's door and being asked about all sorts of issues which actually they'll have no control over because it's with a different council, and that's one of the things at the most basic level. I think parking around Cambridge, for example, it's flipped between county and city for goodness knows how long.
It in my opinion is completely wrong. The people believe there is the council. Of course, it's not the council. There is, in Cambridge, there's the city council and the county council. County council responsible for highways. And as you say, that means parking. But the city council also want to be involved in that. And in so many ways, it doesn't make any sense to have separate authorities providing these facilities. And if I am elected, I will try and I will bring devolved power, not just from government, to the combined authority, but devolve power from the county council to the district councils as well. And I believe that, and I include the city council in that, obviously, and I believe that the more services that are served at a lower level, the more efficient they are.
And from the county council's perspective, it's not necessarily within your gift to say we don't need a county council. Mm. That's something which would come from on high in government in the same way that the devolution which has brought us the mayoral elections has come. So do you then start speaking, because presumably you probably have an ear already, but you may get a second one, should you be elected, to try and remove the county council at some point in the future? You won't be doing it straight away, because in the same ballot boxes or pretty ones close to your election will be the county council elections, of course.
Obviously, I am talking with government all the time, and last week I was with the Prime Minister and the Chief Secretary of the Treasury, and this tonight I'm meeting Boris Johnson, so of course I'm talking to government all the time. However, I don't think we would need to go that high. Government's view would be sort it out. Now, I will work with the county council leader and the district council leaders. They will be part of the combined authority. Now, if we get a county council leader who doesn't share my vision for efficient government in Cambridgeshire, then I don't think we will change. However, if we get a county council that believes in efficient government in Cambridgeshire, I believe that there is an opportunity for change, and that will benefit everybody.
Because we won't know until May the 4th, May the 5th, to be precise, when the votes are counted. But I guess, like a lot of people, you'll be hoping for clarity within the makeup of the county council at the very least.
Well, having been a county councillor for 8 years, the last 4 years have been the biggest waste of anybody's time and money that you can imagine. Having no overall control has been an unmitigated disaster, and I don't blame that on any one doorstep. It's just been a terrible council to be part of. Nothing more frustrating. If you're elected, if you stand for election, the only reason you do so is to improve the place you live in. And it's impossible to do that in a council that just goes around in circles. So whatever the hue may be of the county council, it needs to be led by somebody with a direction and a vision where decisions can actually be made.
Would you point the finger at anybody? Sebastian Kindersley seems to have done a best job that he can of chairing it all. But do you point the finger at any particular party or individuals, groups of individuals have slowed things down, or just the way that the votes came out?
Sebastian, of course, is the chairman, which is a civic role, which has nothing to do with leading the council. The leader of the council is the Conservative, Steve Count, but of course he hasn't got overall control, so he's only a leader who has to tiptoe between the tulips as such to get agreement on everything. Cambridge, you will know how difficult it is in Cambridge to get things done, because in general, if the Labour Party want to do something, the Liberal Democrats don't, and vice versa. And that's what we came up against at the county. Very, very difficult to get anything through. Very, very difficult to get anything sorted out. The county council, as I said, is highly inefficient. It is, in my opinion, a relic from another age. And overall control by one party or another has got to make it work for everybody.
And you could, of course, have some problems with Cambridge because, as the makeup of the council, it's clearly going to be Labour for the next year or so. In previous years, not that far away, it's been Lib Dem. Who knows? It could go that way again. It could go Labour. It could go another direction. The point being, you're Conservative, and if you're a Conservative mayor, there's bound to be some points of friction from time to time, if only in the detail.
I can't possibly imagine that could ever be the case. Look, my job if I'm mayor is to work with everybody, and whoever the representative is in Cambridge, I will work with them. I currently have a good working relationship with Lewis Herbert, and should Lewis carry on, then I will continue that, and if Lewis is replaced, then I will work to form a working relationship whoever forms the next authority in the city of Cambridge. It's the job of the mayor to make sure that the combined authority works for everybody, and petty political arguments are not going to solve any problems.
Okay, I'd like to talk in a moment or two about housing, of course, also transport, two key issues in this election. But we're asking everybody these so-called quick questions, which started off as the idea of one-word answers. But actually, they sometimes get a little bit more interesting if you can expand just a small bit. There's five of them, so let's see how we go. Brexit, yes or no?
Well, yes, because that's the Democratic vote, and therefore, although I voted Remain, I fully back the Democratic vote and will be backing the government's position on Brexit.
Are you a reluctant Remainer?
I was torn, and I'll tell you why I was torn. In my own community, the the local economy has been driven by immigration, and it's been on the whole a positive thing where I live, I believe, and therefore I voted very much from a local perspective. However, the massive bureaucracy and failure of the European Union appalls me. But I also, it's a dichotomy, because I also believe very much in free trade across borders. So in my perfect world, we would have free trade across borders and no European Union. So I suppose that's, I'm sort of
you happy
all
with,
men to all people.
Are you happy with what we know about the negotiations? Not that I feel sometimes we know very much about them.
I think government are setting their position out, and I think they're right to put in a strong position. I believe that what we have to offer to the European Union is too good to lose. I can't imagine that there would be many voters saying in Europe saying no to 20%, a fifth of their trade, for example. So I think the government are right to be strong, and they're right not to show their hand. And I believe that the opposition calls for them to make early decisions without having a bargaining position is foolish.
Probably ruined my own format here, but I was pleased to get your answer on that. Well, I'll try and move through these a bit quicker. Train, car, bus or bike?
Well, again, it depends where you are. If I'm going up the pub, I'd probably take my bike. If I need to go into Cambridge or London, I would go on the train, usually, but it's also more practical sometimes and cheaper to go by car. There isn't a one-size-fits-all policy for Cambridgeshire. Certainly, if you are in the city of Cambridge, it makes more sense probably to have a bike than a car because you've got a train station, etc. But if you are in the rural part of the county, then the car is king.
Well, we'll come to that in a moment or two in more detail. Cash, credit card or contactless?
Oh, contactless. I'm terrible. Never have cash on me, which is brilliant when you get to a parking meter or something similar.
Oh, yes. You need a mobile phone as well in Cambridge these days. It's quite helpful. Housing or green fields?
Well, of course, both. You know, we live in a vast county with wonderful, wonderful nature and countryside and open land, but also I believe that where you create housing, you can create greenfield space. And of course, let's not forget that most of the open space that we have in Cambridgeshire is not open to the public at all. So we have to provide housing. There is a housing shortage. So it's about being sympathetic when housing is provided.
Okay, more in a moment. The only nice question, well, the only one I believe to be nice, the Weekenders four.
Oh. It depends on the time of year. In the football season, for the weekend is for going to Tottenham and going up the pub with my dad on a Sunday, spending time with my family, going out with my wife, all those general family things, really.
No, that works for me too. Let's move on then. And housing is pretty much a key issue. You have a considerable higher amount, 70 million, I think, for housing within in Cambridge, more for the rest of the area. How would you spend it?
Well, the combined authority, the 70 million is ring fenced for Cambridge. It really is a Cambridge thing to spend that. But I think the easiest thing would be to go out and just spend it all very quickly. But as always, if in these cases, if you leverage the money, you can get more out of your 70 million. Now, I've been very clear about community land trusts and the benefits of them. And we've got a pilot scheme up and running and ready for people to move in to some of the houses now in East Cambridgeshire. And the beauty of that scheme is built outside land, outside the planning envelope, and the value and the uplift in the value of the land pays for the trust housing, and it's done in conjunction with the local community. So we are managing to create, and we've got plans for 350 trust housing, low-cost housing, as you say, in the next 10 years in East Cams, and that's going to be at no cost to the taxpayer. So if a similar scheme could be adopted in Cambridge City, that £70 million could go a lot further than 500 houses. And it's about being savvy, and it's about being clever, and it's about working the system to provide the social housing that's necessary. Now, I'm not saying that CLTs are a solution to all the problems of housing need in the county. Of course, they're not. They're only one part. But I'm using that as an example of, if you are clever, you can make a little bit of money go a very, very long way, and you can provide high-quality housing, the same quality housing as market housing, for people to live in at low cost.
350 homes in the grand scheme of things doesn't actually seem that many, really. If you look at the need, so
yeah.
Presumably you'd need a number of the schemes you described, not just in East Cams, but obviously across the entire area.
We're very early stages of this, but it's a policy, and I haven't heard a policy from any other candidates to be absolutely on the only pie in the sky view. So we've got a pilot. We've got plans for 350 trust housing. Of course, the market housing that provides those is alongside that. So that's, probably more another 60% on top of that. But as I said, this is just what we're doing in East Cambridgeshire. I can spread that throughout the whole county. And as I just said, 350 houses in East Cambs. Well, if you could times that by many more across the whole county, then of course you're providing social housing across a wider aspect. But it's not a one-size-fits-all policy. There are currently policies that have certain amounts of low-cost housing in every development, depending on where you are. I think it's nearer 50% in Cambridge, where land values are very high, and it's lower elsewhere to enable development. So there are many ways of doing this. We are under extreme pressure. But of course, affordable housing, there is no real formula that's affordable, because it's affordable to you and the person you are. So I was in Whittlesea 3 weeks ago. They have two hourly trains to Cambridge, but it's only 30 miles away. But you can buy a semi-detached three-bedroom house in Whittlesea for £150,000. Now, that's very affordable to a hell of a lot of people. It's more houses. It's different types of housing. But it's also, this ties in, of course, it's linking the infrastructure in the county to allow people the freedom to live wherever they can afford to live. And I had a phone call, an email yesterday from a lady in March. She said, we used to live in the city of Cambridge. We then moved out to Camborne. And as our family grew, we looked for somewhere where we could afford a family home. We bought a home in March. We absolutely love it. The only problem is that her husband commutes to London, and the trains are infrequent and unreliable. Well, that's the job of the mayor, to make the train system more reliable in Cambridgeshire, more frequent trains, and obviously allow people to live wherever they want to live. And there's some beautiful, beautiful places to live in Cambridgeshire, believe you me.
No, absolutely. Before we move on to transport in detail, I just want a final question on the housing side of things, in the social housing aspect. Is one of the difficulties for councils holding on to that housing and not with the right to buy, which has helped a great number of people. Many, many would argue, but others would say, of course, it's taking houses out of the system that then can't be replaced. And that's a tricky one.
Well, I mean, right to buy, of course, is a tremendously successful policy from the 80s. Gave people the chance they thought they'd never have.
But reduced the housing, the council stock.
If you let me finish. Gave people the chance that they thought they would never have to become homeowners and leave a legacy to their children. And we're seeing the benefits in some areas of that from now. But the failure of the policy was that we didn't reinvest, of course. And it's always easy to look back and say, oh, look what people did wrong. But that was the failure of the policy. Reinvestment at the time would have left us in a different situation. So, yes, it's social housing with right to buy, because let's not forget that that works for a lot of people and it helps them. But the trust system that I'm putting forward as an option for the whole of Cambridgeshire, there is no right to buy on community land trusts. So it's forever housing for the community. As I said earlier, there are many, many ways to provide housing, and you have to take advantage of each different segment. Yes, social housing can be put in, and it can be put in if you just use the 70 million and build 500 houses. It can be put in if you leverage the money through community land trusts or other schemes to provide social housing in perpetuity for the community, or you can just use it in the usual way of a percentage of new builds. So we have to bring forward more housing, and there are many ways in which we will do so.
Okay. Now, I know you came into us by car today, because I checked if you needed the car pass. You said you'd parked elsewhere. How did you find the journey in?
Well, as usual, my journey is never straightforward. So this morning I had a terrible journey on the A14 because of an accident. There is another way to come from Soham, to be honest with you. If you go on the bus is well over an hour. And of course, the buses are on the same roads that everybody else is on. So if I'd have come on the bus this morning, it would have been an hour's journey. And then I wasn't at my destination, because I had another destination to go to this morning. And then I had to go somewhere else. And then I had to come over here. Then I've got to go over to Emmanuel College, and then back to the, you know, I am a car driver. As I said, I live in a rural town. And I use the roads all the time, but I have been lobbying for a railway station for my hometown for the last 7 years or so.
And it's possibly on the agenda as well, for some.
There's absolutely no doubt at all it will happen. The frustrating thing with dealing with Network Rail is they work in five-year time scales. It was supposed to be done this year, 2017. Overspent, the Network Rail overspent in another area of the country. Ours was put back to 2022. So one of the jobs the mayor has got to be able to do is hold Network Rail to account when they've said they're going to do something, that they actually do it on time.
And in your answer, when we were talking about housing a few moments ago, you gave the example of the family which had moved out of Camborne, I think, to Cambridge, to March, and the issue of not necessarily enough services to reach them when they want, not unreasonably, every once in a while to come into Cambridge. And you think that there's generally been the problem insofar as we have got some housing. We have developments at Camborne, at North Stow, and other areas as well. But the infrastructure in order to move those people into Cambridge to work, to shop, or just to go to the cinema and have some fun, really seems to have been lagging behind.
Well, it's non-existent. You know, quite frankly, it's ridiculous. You can't have a system where you have something like March or Whittlesea with trains not coming frequently, not coming late, not, you know, the first train out of March in the morning is 7:30 in the morning. That's totally and utterly ridiculous to go to London. You know, these things are crazy. So you wouldn't think anything of living 30 miles outside of London and commuting in. Yet we seem to think that Whittlesea, March, Wisbeach are on the other side of the planet. And they're only 20 to 30 miles away. We have to connect these communities across Cambridgeshire and spread the wealth of the south to the north, but also spread the opportunities. And when you create corridors, you create opportunities at either end. We have the building blocks of this county to make it affordable to everybody who lives here. We have to link it up properly.
In other words, getting people living in March or somewhere else for that matter, and getting them to Cambridge, and I guess also getting them to some of the other places as well, because that's one of the other issues of having to come into Cambridge to go back out again, which is not always sensible.
But if you're going to go to London on the train, in general, you have to go through Cambridge. Not everywhere, because if you're in the west of the county, you certainly don't have to do that. But if you're coming from Wisbeach, you're coming from March, you're coming from Whittlesea, you're coming from Ely, you go through Cambridge. So it's making sure that line is at the level necessary, that we can put longer trains in, because at the moment the trains are split at Cambridge often and only four carriages go north. So it's about creating an infrastructure that's for the 21st century. Now, it's really up to us to get on with it.
And part of that could be light rail, which I know you amongst a number of candidates have mentioned. I know every once in a while we see a new scheme which is put forward by some transport organisation or another. Presumably you've looked at many, probably all of these. Do you have a preferred one which you think, I could base my plan on this scheme?
Yeah, I think the light rail and underground scheme that Cambridge Connect are putting forward is the best I've seen. It's the most complete. It seems to be the most affordable and the one that we can get up and running the most quickly. The most quickly is not the best language, but the quickest. We've seen other examples. As time has gone on, underground systems can be put in much more cheaply than they used to be. Stations can be put in much more cheaply than they used to be. There's an example of one that's recently been finished in Barcelona, which was much, much, much bigger than needed here. But also, it is light rail and underground, and even the London Underground, only a third of the capacity is under the City of London. There are two-thirds is light rail, effectively. I mean, I was at the Wellcome Trust yesterday, and they bus their staff in and out, yet they want to increase the size of their campus threefold.
And would an organisation like the Wellcome Trust be willing to contribute financially with others, of course?
I think with others there would be certainly an opportunity. I've spoken to the University of Cambridge clearly, and I would expect that there would be others who would be willing to invest. I believe that we can put an underground and a light railway into Cambridgeshire through private finance, and it's up to
entirely,
me to
come up with entirely, or with some public money in there too?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, if you've got the combined authority there, then the modelling, etc., and the initial working on getting a plan together have got to go through the combined authority. But I think that Cambridge is an extraordinarily successful worldwide city. It's showing incredible growth. It's going to grow as much in the next 10 years as in the last 50, and it will grow beyond that. We know that linking the other market towns across the county to Cambridge will be beneficial to the growth of Cambridge. So we have to put ourselves in the position where Cambridge can compete for international business with anywhere in the world, and business will come here and not have to be stuck right in the centre of Cambridge, because that's where the only way you can get around is by cycle. You know, we have to be in a situation where Cambridgeshire can attract the AstraZenecas of the future. We wouldn't be thinking of Silicon Valley and thinking, oh no, well, that's 30 miles away, you couldn't possibly go there. We have to be able to attract companies to come to Cambridge, and they can set up anywhere and take advantage of this tech bubble we have here.
You'll probably tell me I'm being silly, but do you have a cost, or probably more realistically, a timetable as to how long before the first stations at least could appear?
I haven't got for me to tell you, well, it's going to be a billion or it's going to be 2 billion, you know, that's pie in the sky at the moment, because we haven't got a final plan, let alone that. But clearly it's going to be a phased thing. I'm not somebody who likes to hang around. I like to get on with things. And my record at East Cambs as leader shows that, you know, bringing forward a bypass, a leisure centre, a cinema, all these things within a four-year period. The bypass, for example, has frustrated me massively because it's taken far too long, in my opinion. So I'm somebody who likes to crack the whip and get on with things. I'm a very impatient person, and I would not be doing this if I didn't think we could get on with it within the next 5 years. But the mayor has to have a vision past the four-year period, and we've got to look at Cambridge in the next 30 years. And if we don't, the housing bubble here will burst the phenomenon, because I've spoken to the university, as I say, and I know that top academics can earn more money in Boston and they can live cheaply. It's cheaper to live over there than it is here. And if the university doesn't attract the very best people, then the whole bubble will begin to burst. And we have to protect ourselves against that. We've got, as I said, an extraordinarily successful city. A company sold last year for $24 billion. I believe there are international investors, I've spoken to them, who want to come and invest in Cambridge.
We should speak briefly about roads as well, because I know you've highlighted the A10 as somebody who sits in this radio studio and gives out travel news every evening. A10. You know, 4 out of 5 nights, there's an A10 story. You can guess what it is. Mm-hmm. It's congestion in a couple of spots. People coming out of Cambridge and then getting stuck because everybody else is coming out at the same time. How do you fix that? Who do you need to make the phone call to?
Well, there's several areas roads have to be improved or put in Cambridgeshire. I believe, yes, the A10 needs to be upgraded. A47 needs to be properly sorted out between Peterborough and Norwich. Can you believe there's not a dual carriageway between Peterborough and Norwich, the two biggest cities in the county, in East Anglia? And the M11 stops dead at Cambridge. It was supposed to originally go up to the Humber Bridge by the east of Peterborough. So I think very much, though, I've already spoken to Chief Secretary of the Treasury about how we get investment into improving these roads, is business plans. And when I spoke to him last week, he said, put a business plan together, come and see us, and we'll work with you to do what you need to do. We've got to get out of the mindset in Cambridgeshire that you can either do one thing or another. And this is a mindset that's been brought onto us by the current system, the current county council system. You can't do King's Dyke Crossing because we're doing the Ely Bypass. You know, you can't improve the A47 because we need to do something else somewhere else. That mindset's completely wrong. If we can get business plans for each area, there's no reason why we can't stretch and do more than one project and do several projects at once. We have to be ambitious, we have to be bold, and we have to take advantage of the market that we've got before us and the potential for growth that there is in Cambridgeshire. I am absolutely convinced with the right business cases we can transform this county, and that will start on the 6th of May after the count.
Almost out of time, but given the political makeup of the area, you have to be down as favourite. I noticed that the bookies seem to think that as well. Any of the other candidates, you're looking over your shoulder and thinking, he's got some good ideas there.
I haven't heard any good ideas, no, that's for sure. I mean, you know, as I said, I'm the
person. It's a bit of consensus. So, we haven't discussed electric buses, but a lot of people, for example, have mentioned that.
I've heard talk of electric buses or this or that. The fact is that when electric buses are feasible for a rural county, they will come in because the businesses will use them. And if I'm elected, I will talk to Stagecoach and discuss with them. The model that electric buses are being used in London is just simply not feasible for here. They're short. They can only do short distances. I know. I've worked in an industry as a milkman where we used electric vehicles all the time. And when they run out, they run out. But the technology will advance and we will be able to use electric buses. And of course, within the 10 years or so that most of these roads and developments are built, then people will be using electric cars. Probably almost 100% of us will use electric cars. So when I look at the other candidates, if I was looking to vote, I'd say, well, who's got a plan? Who actually knows what they're going to do? Who is saying, well, yes, if you upgrade the M11 from Peterborough to Cambridge, it links Peterborough and Cambridge very quickly, but it also brings in March, Chatteris and Whittlesea, and you can have business growth and development along the whole corridor. Who else is saying, well, let's be bold and put an underground in? I know people are coming along and say, well, I've been saying that for 2 years, but they weren't saying it in their literature to start with until I went bold and said, we're going to do it. So others are followers. I'm a leader. I've been a leader of East Cams. I'm the only person with the experience of leading an authority, and I will continue to lead and push forward if I'm elected as mayor. But going to answer your question, of course, nothing is taken for granted. Every vote is there to be won, and I will be working for the whole of the county in Peterborough too if I'm elected.
Well, the public will make that decision on May the 4th. James Palmer, thanks very much.
Thank you.